Chameleon's Tongue Podcasts. Interviews. Welcome to the Chameleon's Tongue. Hi, I'm Arwen. Today I've been talking to Catherine Elliott. She's a nutritionist and culinary and health writer, and she's been looking into how we can make a gluten-free diet healthy. She's found that some gluten-free foods are not so good in terms of their GI, and she's got some advice for us about how we can make a gluten-free diet healthier. So I wanted to ask you about the research you did into gluten-free products and how they look in terms of general health. Like, can we really call them health foods?
Well, as with all food, it really depends upon the food. Mm-hmm. Some of them are fantastic. Some of them are wonderful. There have been huge advances in gluten-free food since, 10 years ago. Mm. But some of them are not so great. Some of them are being sold as healthy alternatives to gluten full foods when they're not necessarily healthy alternatives. It doesn't mean you shouldn't eat them, but it means they shouldn't be regarded as being health foods. Mm-hmm. A lot of gluten free is kind of automatically being marketed as being healthier, when the fact that it's gluten-free doesn't make any difference, really, to the health value of the food. Mm. I mean, obviously, if you've got celiacs, it's an important issue. But, as a gluten-free cake is still a cake, as much as a gluten-full cake is a cake. Mm. So the fact that gluten has been taken out of it or something else has been used doesn't really... certainly doesn't automatically mean that it is healthy, and it shouldn't be marketed as such. Mm. And a lot of things are. And a lot of people seem to be... I mean, obviously there are people who are celiacs who need to be off gluten. There are people who are gluten intolerant who need to be off gluten. There are a lot of people who are taking it out as a kind of fairly trendy health whim, doing it to lose weight, doing it to detox, and that sort of really sort of strange, unspecific, concept. Mm. And there's no guarantee that, it's doing any of those things, really. A lot of gluten-free food is very high GI, as we've talked about. Something that has fat and sugar in it still has fat and sugar in it.
Yeah. So can you explain sort of quickly what GI is?
Okay.
Why we think about this with foods?
Yes. So the GI is all about the carbohydrate content of a food, and it's a measure of the rate at which the carbohydrate in that food is broken down, turned into glucose and absorbed by our body.
Okay.
Purely and utterly only about carbohydrate. Doesn't tell you anything about the protein in the food, doesn't really tell you anything about the fat in the food, doesn't tell you anything about the minerals, vitamins, etc., etc. It's only about the carbohydrates. And a high GI food is one in which the carbohydrate is broken down very quickly, the glucose is released into our bloodstream very quickly, and we usually get a blood sugar level spike and then a fairly rapid blood sugar level drop. Mm-hmm. A low GI food is one in which the glucose is released more slowly, it builds up in the blood over a longer period of time, there's a much kind of lower peak and a slower drop off as well. The thing about the high GI foods, or the good thing about low GI foods, should I say, is they tend to keep us fuller for longer.
Okay.
They're also, if you've got any blood sugar problems, so if you've got pre-diabetes or diabetes itself, then you need to be aware of the GI. And so it's quite an important concept, but it doesn't tell you everything that you need to know.
So it's one tool among many that we need to be thinking about.
Absolutely. That's exactly what it is. It's one of many things that you need to consider.
Okay. Yeah. So a low GI food would be sort of a whole grain food like brown rice or something like that?
Yes. She says with a note of caution in her voice.
Okay.
You can't automatically assume that because something is whole grain, it is low GI. Mm. They tend to be, but they aren't automatically. Or maybe... you can't assume that they are the lowest GI version.
Okay.
So if we take rice as being an example,
yeah.
Brown rice is at the lower end. It's kind of medium low.
Okay.
But basmati rice, which is a white rice, is lower. A whole grain bread is generally going to be lower GI than a white bread.
So if someone was on a gluten-free diet, do they need to be careful about GI too, and I guess how, like, are there particular foods that they should be looking out for that might be good choices for them to have this slower release?
Yes, absolutely. So people who are gluten-free do need to be aware of the GI of a food, or it's better if they are, for exactly the same reason as everybody else is. You know, it keeps you fuller for longer. If you're trying to manage your weight in particular, then eating low GI foods will really help with that, because it keeps you fuller for longer, you know, and so therefore you don't need to eat as much and all that sort of thing. Also, if you're eating a lot of high GI food, it's linked with a number of other things to an increased risk of diabetes. It's not good for your cardiovascular system. So yes, it is good to try to primarily eat lower GI foods.
Mm.
Because of what they're made of, a lot of gluten-free foods are high GI, so you do have to be quite careful. But it is possible to buy lower GI versions. It's just not automatically obvious which is which necessarily.
Mm.
In terms of things like the whole grains that you can eat when you're gluten intolerant, so brown rice, quinoa, amaranth, buckwheat, most of them are medium to low.
Mm-hmm.
There's some of the grains that, as far as I know, haven't been tested.
Mm.
So I don't think amaranth has been tested.
Okay.
I don't think sorghum has been tested, not as widely used in Australia. You certainly can't really, I haven't really seen it in the health food shop anyway. But things like quinoa have been, buckwheat has been, brown rice has been. And then when it comes to other foods, it becomes a lot trickier.
Mm.
It then becomes about how they're made, what they're made with, what other ingredients are put in there, and you can't automatically tell. You need to know a little bit in order to be able to work it out, and that's a hard process. If I try to come up with a set of quick and easy rules, that's not necessarily going
to
be easy.
It's what everyone would love to have.
Yeah, your top five tips kind of thing. And it is fairly depending on which food we're talking about. So say we're talking about bread.
Mm.
There are a couple of breads are actually marketed as being low GI.
Okay.
And they are.
That's,
you know,
good.
you can believe that. Basically, and what they do to bread to make it lower GI is they do things like they add psyllium to it.
Mm-hmm.
That will lower the GI of it. They add almond meal, mm-hmm. I've seen in breads. If it's a sourdough bread, that will be a lower GI than a non-sourdough. A lot of gluten-free breads have egg in them to kind of help bind it together. That will help to lower the GI of it. Anything that has a grain in it, like where you can see bits, that tends to be lower GI. There's a bakery that makes bread using whole grain quinoa flour as their primary base. That tends to be lower GI. But if you're buying gluten-free white bread from the supermarket, it's probably going to be fairly high GI.
Okay.
Yeah.
And some of these things that help with the GI, like having psyllium and grains in there, are good for fibre and
absolutely,
things like that too.
Absolutely. I mean, psyllium is beautiful fibre, beautiful soluble fibre, fantastic for you. Almond meal adds protein to the bread, as well as those kind of lovely sort of omega-6 essential fatty acids. So you've got a little bit more added to your bread. These are not necessarily bad additions at all.
Mm.
They're just kind of needed to turn what is a fairly basic kind of white flour that's used into a lower GI product.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it's not necessarily a bad thing whatsoever. It's just needed.
Yeah.
You know, the other things are carbohydrate filled products, are things like pasta, noodles, breakfast cereals. These are the big things that we tend to eat. You can buy pastas now that have actually got legume flour in them, so
soy and
split peas and things like that. They are legumes have a lower GI, so they will help to lower the GI of the whole thing. Mm-hmm. A lot of the gluten-free breakfast cereals are quite high. A couple of them have had psyllium added to them. But if you don't like that one... The other part of this is that even if what you're having is high GI, that you really love it and you still want to have people having it, there are things that you can do to lower the GI of your whole meal.
Okay.
So there's kind of two things. There's the GI of the actual food itself.
Mm.
And then there's the what we call the glycemic load of the whole meal.
Okay.
So if you're just eating a slice of basically white bread, that's very high GI. Okay. You put Vegemite on it, very high GI. If you take white bread and put hummus and a tomato and maybe a bit of rocket, by adding those other foods to it, you are lowering the GI of the whole meal that you're eating. And so the hummus and the vegetables are kind of counteracting the high GI-ness of the bread.
Mm-hmm.
The same is true of pasta. So some of the pastas have legumes in them, or legume flours in them. Some of them don't. So if the one that you like doesn't, then you can have, if you have less pasta, which is probably a healthy thing to do anyway, have a whole lot of salad with it and have a sauce that has maybe some meat in it or some lentils or something like that. Again, that sort of slightly counteracts the high GI-ness of the actual pasta itself.
Okay. So you're trying to aim for a balance.
Yeah, and you can then not only improve the whole meal nutritionally, but you can also improve the GI of the whole thing that you're eating. And, you know, adding some legumes and adding some vegetables, these are fantastic things to do in terms of health anyway. And they're the things that we should all be doing.
Yeah,
not just people who need to eat gluten-free.
That was Catherine Elliott, a nutritionist based in Sydney who's been looking into how we can make our gluten-free diets a little bit healthier. Thank you for listening to The Chameleon's Tongue. If you're interested in some more topics in science, please have a look at our website, thechameleonstongue.wordpress.com.